then at 10 o'clock this session, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, I want to do a short series on what we did on the cruise in the Bahamas, and that was the concept of aging. Now, that's a strange topic, because the concept of aging is primarily, or the Bible and old age, is primarily a concept for young people. And that is simply because what the Bible teaches about old age is simply this, that the quality of your old age, and we all will get there. We all will get there. If you're 16, you're getting older. And you will be hanging your tongue out saying, how did I ever get to be 40? I wonder the same thing. How did I ever get to be 60? I don't know. Because teenage memories are as vivid as they ever were. And I like the same things. I like to do the same things. And I'm in many ways willing to grow older, but I will not ever give up my childishness. That's part of the humor of living, part of the fun of living. And consequently, we want to get this lesson down very clearly that Caleb at 85 was everything he was at 40. And he says so. And he's one in 2 million Israelites that was that way. Because his mental attitude kept straight and kept right and kept light. One of the things that people sometimes tend to do, I think, with age is you get so serious. Oh, life is so serious. And I guess I ought to get this out of my system, but I love the way Southwest Airlines, their host, and what do they call them now? I can't remember. Used to be hostess.
Flight attendants
make a sacrosanct thing into such a humorous thing. It's the first time in years I have listened to the litany of the flight attendant about the flotation device. Who, you know. And it was so funny to get in and may we have your attention, please. And so I fold my arm back to rest. And the flight attendant says, there are drinks served on this flight. It will be $40 for mixed and $20 for beer. And then the somber part, for those of you who are bringing children aboard, our sincere sympathy. There will be no smoking on this flight. However, if you do have a nicotine fit, you are free to stand on the wing, and if you can light it, you can smoke it. The flotation device is the seat that you're sitting on, and this is extremely important for this flight, as we will be flying between Florida and Kansas City over many swimming pools. And you couldn't get the image of a 737 landing in a swimming pool, you know. Okay. I'm not advertising for an airline at all. I just love people that put a touch of humor in otherwise serious, sober things. It sometimes gets your message across in a very, very colorful way. In fact, part of our study of age will be the biblical concept of dying and death. And in reviewing through that material, I went through it the first time and I thought, this is awfully sober. This is awfully serious. We've got to get, if we're going to get the subject across, some humor on death. Now, Corey, you're a communicator, and you know that very often a very serious subject can best be communicated with a touch of humor. Now, that's in good taste. You've got to do that. But there's humor in everything that we do. And frankly, I find that I'm the funniest person. And I don't mean funny to you. I mean funny to me. I do the dumbest, craziest things. And it's fun to look in the mirror and say, ain't I a joke? And yet at the same time, you don't approach life that way. and yet you have that type of sense of humor, and I think it helps keep you young. It all starts with mental attitude. And let's turn, please, to Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 31. And I think by the time we finish this, you will see how this applies to old people and how it applies to young people. So this is a message this morning at 10 and 6 tonight that is for everyone. Now we'll put this down in a sort of an orderly way. And we want to begin by saying, what is the preparation for old age? How do you get ready for a useful and a fruitful old age? And our first point is the preparation for it. Now, obviously, if we are to prepare for something, this implies the fact that we get ready ahead of time. And therefore, when it's applied to age, it means that you got ready ahead of time. You got ready when you were young, and consequently, don't turn me off if you happen to be in a younger category. And I know for you who are 30, you believe you will remain 30 forever. We have a lot of utter foolishness that I think is meant to be humorous, and I just absolutely object to being talked about as what? Over the hill. You get a black card when you turn 30 because you're over the hill. That is absolutely anti-biblical. Now, if someone does that to you, smile, be nice, be courteous, and say thank you, and laugh with them. But they are totally unbiblical. There is no hill to go over. There is no hill to go over. Age is one of the most irrelevant concepts as far as Christian doctrine is concerned that there are. I repeat again, age is probably one of the most irrelevant concepts taught anywhere in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about lots of those passages, and we want to develop, hopefully, a healthy view on aging. Now, what about preparation? What can I do now? Now, this fellow that I'm using is named Caleb. And Caleb spoke these words when he was young, and he spoke them again when he was 85 years old. So to think that Caleb was as strong at 85 as he ever was, and his mental attitude was better than anybody in Israel, and Caleb was a young 85 from that standpoint. And that is encouraged to me because I'm 62, and that means I've got 23 years to get ready to be 85. I got 23 years to make good decisions and develop a good mental attitude. So from Caleb's standpoint, I'm a youth. And so are you from his standpoint, but we'll want to hear the words of this older man. But notice now, going back to his youth, and we're looking at Numbers 13, 25 through 31. What has happened is Israel has come up to the promised land. The spies have been sent in to spy it out. And one of them was named Caleb. And let's notice what the majority opinion was when they came back. It was twofold. Number one, the land is everything that God said it would be. Look at that down to, they bring back the pomegranates, the figs, and look down to verse 27. Thus they, that includes Caleb, thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. But please note, at this point, the spies all had two different mental attitudes. And the ones that went in and said, this is a wonderful land, it's everything that God promised it would be, they hung on the end of God's promise a wow. You say, a wow? A wow, or a vav, is the Hebrew connective. And it often means, but. And our translation has given us why everybody grew old, everybody except one man.
And here is what happened. Notice in verse 28, what they attach to the end of God's promise. The land is everything that God promised. It is wonderful, but, and our translation has given us nevertheless, but the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the picture comes up is that we're nothing but grasshoppers in their sight. And there is a key to life. In every situation, you see one of two things. You see God as great or yourself as a grasshopper. And so it's gods or grasshoppers, and almost all of the bunch went with the grasshoppers except for one man. And he didn't see grasshoppers because he thought differently than everybody else thought. He thought in simple terms, God said it, that settles it. God said it, I believe it. And then notice verse 30, they're all in a big hubbub apparently of saying, but did you see that big guy over there? We can't do it. And so while they're all butting around, here comes Caleb. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall overcome him. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. And that was the majority of the opinion. The majority of opinion was to put a but on the end of God's promise, except for Caleb. Now, please turn to Joshua chapter 14. And I want you to see how healthy that was. How healthy that was. This guy, Caleb, had a mental attitude you wouldn't believe. Because they didn't possess the land, but Caleb believed the promise. For 1 year anniversary of going in, they hadn't entered in. I'm sure they all said, see, Caleb, you idiot. You are too simple. It's been a year and we haven't been in the land. And Caleb said, I'm sorry, I still believe. 2 years passed, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and we have this man speak up again. So let's pass from our Numbers passage over a period of 40 years in a man's life. And now Caleb is an older man, and in chapter 14, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, he says, I'm a simpleton. God spoke, and I believe it. And I believed it for 45 years. And therefore, these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, behold, I am 85 years old today. So, he was 40 when he believed the promise, and at 85, he says, I haven't changed a bit. My mental attitude is the same. I am ready to say, hey, I'm 85, and look at what he says in verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war or for going out and coming in. So the old 85-year-old guy says, let's go. I'm ready to fight. Are you? And of course, all of the aging 40 years old who had not believed the promise were ready for nothing except to give up and die. And so notice the preparation for old age is mental attitude. Mental attitude, which was this. It was the formula that he understood, that you take the word of God and you mix with it faith. And that so to speak, he says, you add to that faith, and to that he says, that equals agelessness. I'm not old, because I found a secret of preparing for it lies in believing the Lord over a very discouraging period of time, a very difficult time. He continues to believe the Lord. Now, because of this attitude, God said something in two places about Caleb. And the thing he said about Caleb is found in these words. It says, Caleb followed me fully. Caleb followed me fully. And he's simply saying, this man who put faith in the Word of God, very simply, is a man who followed me fully. Followed me fully. And that is the descriptive phrase used for this particular man. A man who had a simple, simple life. He believed, he knew the promise, he believed the promise, and that equals, in God's eyes, a man who fully follows me. Or, from the chronological aspect, he put his faith in the Word of God, and that equaled youthfulness. Now, please notice those two places. Numbers, chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. Now, pardon me this morning if I preach a little bit or yell at you a little bit. This week was wonderful, and I feel rested, and I feel great. And I'm ready to go, so please allow me to preach a little bit. You can't box your enthusiasm when you're in good shape. So, Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. The Lord is angry with Israel, and he says in verse 11, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward, these are the kids, these are the young people, from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham. Why wouldn't they see it? Because they had a rotten mental attitude. Because they did not believe God as did Caleb. And so, notice verse 11, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully except Caleb. And he gives his genealogy, and it says, Caleb and Joshua, and it says, they have followed the Lord fully. That is a description of a man who from his youth up put faith in the Word of God. For those who did not believe it, from age 20 up, God says you're out of the picture, you're not see the promised land, you don't have the right attitude, and attitude is everything. If you fly or a pilot, you know something that applies when you're flying, and that is it's different than driving a car. What determines your speed with the car? The accelerator, doesn't it? But that's not what determines altitude with an airplane. Your attitude determines your altitude. And attitude means nose down, nose up. That's the attitude of the airplane, not that airplanes think, but they have attitudes, various attitudes. You're in a critical attitude, a stall attitude, nose high, low power, and you get the pre-stall buffet, and it's due to your attitude. And the first thing you do is apply power and get the nose down. And that corrects the attitude type thing. And I have a picture on a poster that I just love. It's a picture of an F-15 going straight up. and it says, your attitude determines your altitude. And boy, that applies in living, and that was applied to Caleb. Caleb's attitude determined his altitude. He flew high, and he flew high for a long, long time, and he did so because he had the simple formula. You take the Word of God, and you believe it. Okay, looking then at the Numbers passage, the idea of fully following the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. Deuteronomy 1, 36. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 36. Reads as follows. Really, we should go back to the 35th verse. And the Lord speaks and says, not one of these men, I don't care how young or old they are. If they're 20, it applies to them. Not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I gave to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has, and here's your words again, followed me fully. So notice the preparation for old age is all up to you. It's all in your attitude. How you believe the Lord today at whatever age you may be, don't let someone tell you you're over the hill. There is no hill to be over. The only hill that most of us go over is over the faith hill. We just don't believe the Word anymore. We just don't give full credence to it. And consequently, we do not follow the Lord fully. And that is a secret for aging. That is a secret for getting old. Caleb was not in that category in any sense of the word. Mental attitude is the preparation for old age. Now, let me do a little bit about our second point, is we have recorded in the Word of God, and I might ask you, first of all, do you know where it is? The prayer of old age? Do you know where the psalmist takes the stance of being old and he prays about that subject? Well, let's look at, there is a passage that deals with the prayer of old age. And you know why some of us are aging? We haven't taken time to take a look at some things like this. You sit there and say, oh, what is it? You don't know. You don't know. Well, perhaps we don't. So let's go to the place where the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prays about age. It's Psalm 71. Psalm 71. The prayer of old age. And the thing I want you to notice is that in Psalm 71, basically, and we'll not detail the psalm, but basically it comes in three parts. The psalmist looks back to his youth or his past of faith in 71, 1 through 8, and look particularly at verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my confidence from my youth. The secret of old age is the decisions of youth. And the psalmist is saying, I can look back over my shoulder, and I have always trusted and trusted and believed and believed and believed. And now I have arrived at old age, and you come down to chapter 71, verse 9. And he is speaking of his anticipation of old age. And in this section, we have the three fears of age. Older people increasingly, and if you're a younger person and haven't been bothered with these things, just wait. You just wait. Because these three things are going to become your concerns. And they're concerns of many, many old people. Number one, the fear of abandonment. The fear of abandonment. You get to a point in life, in age, chronologically, where you begin to look at the old bits. And I'm just beginning to do it. Ooh, so-and-so died at age 78. You look at the next one. He died at 60. I was that 2 years ago. And you begin to look at that thing. How many old people do you see that are alone in this world? You are going to lose your husband or your wife. And it won't happen on the same day. It's not going to be that way. Just almost bet it could happen on the same day, but it's very unlikely that will happen there. It's very unlikely that you will join with a group of eight women eating at Führer's cafeteria. And you say, where are their husbands? They're all dead. And they are there because their husband has died. I don't know whether it's due to their cooking or what, but nonetheless, they are abandoned. And you see them gathering together in groups, don't they? Because you need the support of friends, and you're losing them. And you can list off the people that you used to be friends with, and oh, he's dead now. She's not living any longer. And the older you get, the more you begin to fear being abandoned, being left alone. Hey, that's age-old fear. And so the psalmist looks up and says, don't cast me off. Don't leave me in the time of my old age. What's a second fear that you get as you get older? In the next line, do not forsake me when my strength fails. One of the characteristics of old age is you can't run a 4-minute mile anymore. I'm a history of this. I started out with glasses at fairly young age. Then I moved to bifocals. And then I began to go in the store and stand in front of the cans. And I couldn't see them up close. And so, what do you do? You lift like that to see that. And here comes, there they are. Trifocal, three little places. Ruins your golf game. Because you go to stroke the ball and you come back like this and the ball is seen through the middle lens and the ball is seen through the bottom lens and therefore you see two balls and the secret to it is you hit for the non-existent ball that exists between the two. Failing eyesight. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to improve. In all likelihood, it will not improve. And you can probably name the things about your physical strength that are not what they once were. They begin to fail. And that's one of the fears of old age. Declining strength. Declining ability. The fear of abandonment. The fear of your strength failing. Then notice verse 10. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying God has forsaken him, and the latter part of verse 11, pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. How about the fear of being victimized? How many old people get victimized? Someone talks you out of your bank account. We're a bank inspector and we want you to put take your money out and put it here. That kind of scam happens all the time, does it not? you are in a crowd, and I look at some older women who have a big purse. Man, all you got to do is take your foot and give her a kick and take her purse and go. She can't fight you. Well, now, some old women may, but she didn't have the strength to do so. There's once when I would step out in a parking lot without fear, knowing that if someone would attack me, I had a good chance, if there weren't a whole gang, I had a good chance of protecting myself. Now, that isn't as true anymore, because I know there are younger, stronger men who can definitely take advantage of my age. And the same is true and is going to be true for many of you. You do not have the strength that you used to have, and you are in the danger of being victimized. And I'm sure if we knew the statistics, we could go on and on about old people that are victimized in their old age. And so he talks about those things, but he points out there's some things he can continue to do. And I'm going a little bit over, but let me finish verse 14. This is called dying. This is what you can do when you're old. But as for me, verse 14, I will hope all the time. You can trust all the way to your last breath. And I will praise thee more and more. Your witness can become more effective all of the time. And therefore, he is deeply thankful for the strength that the Lord supplies to him, and we will pick up with that in our evening study and talk about that. So the Bible has a great deal to say about age, and believe me, I wouldn't have said this 20 years ago, but I say it not insincerely. Getting older is wonderful. It's great. It's better all the time. And the final hallelujah, and we'll see this from the New Testament, the final hallelujah will be when you draw your last breath. Because pictured in Scripture is the wonderful, wonderful thing of the death of his child. And therefore, the last event of living is dying. And we ought to learn how to do it with gracefulness. Now, we've got a little bit of a logistic problem, because in dealing with the believer in death, which is the culmination of old age, falls about next Sunday evening. And that is essentially Christmas Sunday. And the Word of God is appropriate at all times. But I don't think Christmas is the best taste and the best time to talk about dying. Because we all have those who have gone on, and we sorrow for them, and we know they're with the Lord, but yet at the same time, it's not really a Christmas subject. And therefore, logistically, we may juggle these around a little bit, so we'll come to that on a more appropriate time. But this morning at 10 and tonight at 6, the subject of old age. In fact, we might even finish that tonight. And I will not tell you how many points I've got, because you begin to count them and pack up your Bible and notebook saying he's only got one point. I need to get ready to get out and get to lunch. So we don't want to do that. Father, we're thankful for your word and for the encouragement it gives us of all ages, that we can praise you, we can glorify you, we can trust you, clear up until the day that we breathe our last. And help us to learn and to develop a healthy view on life. In Christ's name, amen.